Hello, everybody, and welcome to a spooky episode 44 of Real Stories. As the spookiness would imply, today will be a paranormal-themed episode, but I also want your guys' feedback before we continue. Do you prefer the Let's Not Meet stories, or do you prefer the paranormal? I'll have a poll in the description of this episode, so please go and vote. If you have an opinion, I'd love to hear it. With all that being said, let's get started. My only paranormal experience was wild. Okay, so to start this off, I'm an adult, 28 years old, and a male. This story happened when I was around 15 years old, and to date, it still blows my mind. So for context, I was 15, and I was a little pothead. I loved smoking weed, so whenever I got the chance, which was basically every day, I would get high with my friends. We'll come back to that later. I grew up in a huge town in the UK. We had nearly 100,000 residents, so yeah, pretty big. Where I used to live was in an estate full of houses. I had a best friend at the time who lived about 20 to 25 minutes away from me. But in order to get there, you had to walk through a wooded area that led to a big lake that you would walk around to get near his house. So one day, randomly, I was out with my friend who I had just mentioned, plus many others, when we noticed a lot of police presence in the area near the woods. We also noticed a police helicopter in the air. Being curious, we followed the police to the woodlands that separated our houses. We went through the woods to the lake, where police and ambulance workers were, amongst many other bystanders at this point. We got there and started asking people we knew about what happened. We were told that a young boy around the age of 7 had drowned in the lake near the path where everyone was gathering. Over the next couple of days, police were thralling the lake looking for the child who they knew was there because his friend ran for help when he fell in and couldn't get out. 2 to 3 days after he slipped in, the authorities found the young boy's body, which was big news in my town. No later than 24 hours after the boy was found, the local council installed a black metal bench on the footpath near where he died with a little plaque commemorating his life. Okay, so that very next day, I was out with my friend over near where I lived, and we were getting high with a bunch of other friends that we knew. By the time we were done getting high, we decided to go back to his house to sleep because my mom would have gone crazy over the fact that we were high. We started to walk back to his house around 11 p.m., and it was really dark out. We passed my house and eventually got to the woods. We walked through the woods and got to the start of the lake. We started walking down the side of the lake, down the path where the kid drowned and the bench was. We were just talking nonsense, as high teens did, when I noticed that when the bench got into sight that there was a man who sat on the bench. Now, I was a bit freaked out by this, but didn't say anything yet. It was 11 p.m. near the woods, in the dark. It was creepy, but when I got a little closer, I noticed I could see what the man was wearing, and he was dressed as a priest. You know, the black jacket and white collar. Upon seeing this priest, I sighed some relief because I just presumed he was praying or something of the sort for the kid that drowned in that spot 4 days earlier. So after noticing this priest, I just watched him sit there as I got closer and closer. I didn't say anything to my friend who was right next to me, but we collectively stopped talking once we noticed the man. As we got closer, it was more obvious that he was a priest. And then, when we got within about 5 meters, he was gone. I felt like I blinked and he just disappeared. When we were walking past the actual bench where I had seen him at, there was nobody there. But if he was to have gotten up and walked away, I'd have seen that happen. After I got to the bench, I turned to my friend who was just as confused and spooked as I was. I asked him if he just saw that man that was sitting on the bench. I didn't want to say what type of man because the way he was dressed was very obvious as to what type of man he was. But I asked him, "Did you just see that man that sat on that bench?" He said, "Yeah, the guy dressed like a priest." When I tell you, my heart sunk because I cannot explain that feeling or that situation to this day. What gets me is I purposely asked my friend if he'd seen the man, and he corrected me by saying the man was a priest. If it was a person, they'd have to get up and walk away from us down a straight line where the path was. We'd have seen him walk away, or they'd have to walk past us. But no, when we get close, poof, gone. Still to this day, it's my only paranormal experience, but it blows my mind every time I think about it. That was a pretty creepy encounter for sure. It's also very unfortunate because they had a real life situation happen where a boy drowned in the lake. So rest in peace to that kid, because that is really sad. So in this story, our author is hanging out with his friends and they're smoking weed and they're walking home. Near this area where they're walking, a boy had drowned in the lake. This had happened 4 days before this walk. Since the boy had drowned, the town had put in a bench to commemorate his honor, which is a really nice gesture. And it's a nice way to remember somebody. So on this walk, our author and his friends pass this bench. But when they're walking up to it, our author sees a man sitting at this bench. Now, it's pretty late at this point, so they think that that's kind of weird because the author mentions that it's 11 o'clock and it's dark out, and this guy is just sitting on this bench. It's not something you'd expect to see. Also, our author notices that the man who's sitting at this bench is kind of dressed like a priest. But he doesn't really mention that to anybody because they just keep walking, and he keeps it to himself. It's really not that significant until they get closer to him, and in the next moment, he's gone. Now, to cover his bases and to make sure he's not crazy, our author asks one of his friends, "Did you see that man?" Not the priest, but he said, "Did you see that man?" To clarify that this person was there and that he had been seen and that he would be able to be described the same way. So he said, "Hey," and his friend says, "Yeah, the guy dressed like a priest." So he definitely also saw the same man, which definitely makes this case even creepier. Because it's not just our author who thought he saw something and could have been wrong. It was two people who had the same experience of seeing this mysterious figure sitting on this bench. And then, a mere second later, that figure was gone. Now, the way the author describes the path where the bench is located, it's a straight path. So if the man got up and left, they would have seen him either way if he walked the opposite direction or towards them. However, that did not happen. So what to make of this? Now, the man was dressed like a priest, according to the author and this witness. So is it possible that a guardian spirit was looking on and paying homage to this kid? Who knows? Maybe it was a family member who was also just thinking about life and remembering this child. I'm not really sure what to make of it, but the fact that this man was there and then gone is crazy. And I mean, my mind goes to the paranormal of maybe it was an angel or a ghost, but they said that it was a man and it was a child who died, so I'm not exactly sure what correlation this figure that they saw dressed as a priest would have to the child. But what do you guys think? Because I'm not really sure what to make of this. But it definitely sounds like there was a shared paranormal experience by the author and his friend. Alrighty guys, we'll get into our next story right after hearing a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Hey guys, did you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month? Well, now you do. So how are you feeling? And be honest. If you think that you may be feeling stressed, depressed, anxious, or overwhelmed, you're not alone. And today's sponsor, BetterHelp, is here to help you. BetterHelp offers licensed therapists who are trained to listen and help you. Talk to your therapist in an online environment at your convenience. And there is a broad range of expertise in BetterHelp's network of 20,000 therapists that give you access to help that may not be available in your area. You just fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs, and then you can get matched with a therapist in as little as 48 hours. You can then schedule video and phone sessions, plus exchange unlimited messages with your therapist. You can also request a new therapist at any time for no additional charge. So join the 3 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with an experienced BetterHelp therapist. Get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/realstories. That's BetterHelp.com/realstories, all one word. Background. I am a professional paranormal researcher with over 40 years of experience. I hold many degrees and certifications that aid me in my research, some strictly paranormal in nature, others more general in nature. This is a true story of my personal experience being oppressed by a demon, how it felt, what I did to resolve it, and similarities to other cases that I've worked. This is written from a personal perspective, meaning that my personal beliefs, theories, and hypotheses are included. I am a non-denominational Christian, paranormal believer, pastoral counselor, and minister. These are my beliefs, and I only include them to provide a basis for the ideas that I express here. My experience. I began to have trouble sleeping, emotional outbursts, severe mood swings, and feelings of impending doom. This went on for 2 weeks before I took action, as I believed it to be related to the many health issues that I experience. I visited my doctor, who ordered blood work and related tests, which all turned out to be normal. At 6 weeks, I had exhausted all of my personal resources to address this issue. I did not jump to a paranormal conclusion immediately, but I did attempt to intervene personally using my spiritual beliefs and practices. This did provide some relief to varying degrees, but only lasted for a short intervals, from a couple hours to a few days. Eventually, I sought the help of another minister that I trust. He felt that he should perform a minor exorcism to see what effect that it may have on the situation. I am very lucky to have another professional available that I have a personal relationship with. His familiarity with me and my experience personally validated his concerns and gave him the confidence to proceed much faster than this process normally takes. During the exorcism, the demon identified itself by name. It stated that it was given the authority to afflict me by God. It also stated that I had invited it because I was punishing myself. I have no memory of this at all, but it did not speak using my voice. By name, he cast it out into the name of Jesus and followed his protocol for these type of situations. After it was over, I felt immediate relief. He questioned me extensively on how I may have been punishing myself. It was very hard to admit for me, especially in my position as a pastoral counselor, that I have had a lot of guilt for things that have occurred in my life. Some things that I had done and other things that had been done to me. He counseled me for several weeks to deal with these issues so that would not happen to me again. Questions. As a result of this whole experience, I have questions. This was a demon, and though it was oppressing me, it seemed that it was for my own good. I have seen this in helping other people in a general sense, but based on experiences that you may have had, is this the norm? I have seen during paranormal investigations that entities carry with them mental afflictions that they had in life. I appreciate any input and thoughts. Oh wow, that was a pretty crazy story. Not gonna lie, I wish that we focused more in that story upon the exorcism itself. I feel like they kind of like buried the lead a little bit there. So in this story, our author is a paranormal researcher who has a ton of experience, over 40 years. Very jealous of that. They have a lot of degrees and certifications, so they are legit. I don't know exactly what degrees and certifications you get to be a paranormal researcher, but I'm looking into that for sure. They say that they're a man of faith, they're Christian, non-denominational. So this really started for them because they were having trouble sleeping, emotional outbursts, severe mood swings, and feelings of impending doom. Not gonna lie, I know a couple people like that. But hopefully they are not possessed by a demon. So this went on for 2 weeks before our author decided to take any action, because he thought it was just related to the physical health world. So he went to see a doctor, they did some tests, everything was normal. At 6 weeks, he was still having those same symptoms. Luckily for him, he knew another minister and sought his advice. I'm guessing that the process of getting an exorcism approved is not a very fast one based on that. I'm assuming that because it's such an intense thing to do, that they need a lot of confirmation to make sure that that is the best course of action. And that makes sense, because people have actually died during exorcisms. It is very intense. They kind of walk a fine line between, like, supernatural and the real world in some cases. There's been a lot of representation of exorcisms in scary movies, from the more serious ones like The Exorcist and The Conjuring to a little bit more goofy ones like Beetlejuice. So even though we may have seen them, I wanted to give a definition. So an exorcism is the expulsion or attempted expulsion of a supposed evil spirit from a person or place. Because, as we've talked about in other episodes, sometimes it is not the person that's haunted, but it's the house, and vice versa. And exorcisms can be performed on both. Personally, I'd much rather have to get an exorcism done on the house than on me. So this other minister eventually performs the exorcism on the author. During the exorcism, the demon that was afflicting and oppressing our author identified itself by name. Now, I would have much preferred that our author say what the name was, but, you know, maybe it is not safe to do so. I'm assuming that that would be the reason why they wouldn't do that. But I'd really like to know. It also stated that it was given the authority to afflict him by God, which is a very interesting take. It also stated that the author had invited this demon in because he was punishing himself. Now, the author had no memory of this at all, but it did speak using the author's voice. By name, the minister cast it out in the name of Jesus and followed his protocol for these type of situations. So it sounds like, from a procedural standpoint, that the exorcism was successful. And after it was over, our author felt immediate relief. But now he had to do some soul searching and kind of figure out what they meant by the punishing themselves. And that was a pretty difficult journey for them. He ended up working with that same minister during counseling, and he ended up fixing his issues. However, this left our author and me personally with a lot of questions. This was a demon, and though it was oppressing him, it seemed like it was for his own good. So that is a very weird thing to have happen. It's like if your own negative thoughts kind of materialized into a demon and tortured you. So the trouble sleeping, the emotional outbursts, that can happen from stress. So the demon said that he was beating himself up. So there's probably a lot of stress, a lot of regret, maybe some resentment. So these all do have a rational explanation. So I'm not exactly sure on the legitimacy of exorcisms and the demons, but it was definitely a very interesting story. This happened fairly recently. I had a friend who I'll call Jack, and we met when we were 17. I had a huge crush on him. We actually dated for 2 weeks before realizing we were better off as friends. We were best friends for years, and I always felt a deep connection to Jack, even after we lost touch. In 2019, another friend of mine, who I'll call Diane, tried to find Jack on Facebook. We couldn't find him, and even messaged the wrong guy accidentally. Then, a couple months later, Jack found me on Facebook and messaged me out of the blue. We talked and texted and got back in touch. Diane and I wanted to meet up with him, but it was the height of COVID, so we didn't. Jack and I kept in touch all of 2020. I remember texting him how thankful I was that we had all survived 2020. "We made it," I said. In January 2021, the lights in my house started flickering one day. The next day, I saw someone walk into my office and I assumed it was my daughter, but no one was there. More lights flickered. The TV turned on by itself. Diane gave me the number of a medium. I made an appointment for the upcoming Saturday. Feeling relieved and hopeful, I took a shower before bed. As I cleared my mind under the hot water, I tried to think of who would come through when I saw the medium. In my head, I heard Jack's voice say, "She doesn't know I'm gone." I hadn't talked to Jack in a bit and made a mental note to text him in the morning, just to shake this feeling. The next morning, a mutual friend called to tell me Jack had died. He accidentally overdosed on fentanyl. I was crushed. It still hurts. He was a good friend. I should note that I have SLI, or sliders, street light interference, and tend to affect electronics and such, so I didn't think much of the light flickering at first. Thank you for reading my experience. Aw, that was a kind of a sad note to leave on, but a really nice story. Even though it had a sad conclusion, it was really interesting. Because like I said, some of my favorite ghost stories are the ones where it's just friends or loved ones that are popping in to say hi or say goodbye. Our author had a friend named Jack. They were good friends as kids and even dated for a little while before realizing they were better off as friends. It'd be like that sometimes. And they were best friends for years. They always had a deep connection, even after they stopped talking. In 2019, our author and a friend of theirs decided that they would try to find Jack on Facebook. They couldn't find him, and it was really a struggle. Then, a couple months after that, Jack found our author and started messaging them. They talked and texted, and they got back in touch, which is really dope. It's always nice to get back in touch with a friend that you haven't seen in a while. Shout out to my homies out there that I haven't seen in a minute. It's still all love. However, Jack and our author kept in touch all of 2020. Unfortunately, because of the time and what was going on that year, they could not get together. Our author even remembers texting him how thankful that they were that they had all survived 2020, saying, "We made it." That became all too ironic and sad at the conclusion of this story. So in January of 2021, the lights in our author's house started to flicker one day. Nothing too crazy, you know, it's weird, but maybe there's a light switch issue, maybe the bulb's going out, who knows. The next day, they saw someone walk into their office and they assumed that it was their daughter. But when they went to go check for themselves, nobody was there. Now that is a little weird. Because sometimes your mind does play tricks on you, and maybe you'll think that you saw something that wasn't actually there. But in this case, it seems like our author vividly remembers seeing somebody walk into their office. So that's two kind of suspicious things. Then they had more light flickering issues. Again, weird, but probably explainable. Then they had a TV turn on by itself. Now that's weird. TVs can turn off by themselves. Sometimes if they're inactive or whatever, they'll just turn off. But turning on by itself, I've never seen or really heard of that happening through any natural means. Now, because of this, they reached out to their friend and got a number of a medium. They made an appointment for the following weekend. They felt relieved and they decided to just take a shower and go to bed that night. And during this shower, they cleared their mind. And they were trying to predict who they might hear from when they go and talk to this medium. In their head, they heard Jack's voice say, quote, "She doesn't know I'm gone." Now, that is a really ominous quote, and it doesn't sound very good per se. They hadn't talked to Jack in a bit, and they had made a mental note to text them the next morning, because that was a really weird thing to have happen. So naturally, they wanted to check on Jack, make sure that they're good. Unfortunately, the next morning, they got a call from a mutual friend that told them that Jack had died, that he had accidentally overdosed on fentanyl. Now, that is just heartbreaking. The opioid epidemic in this country is so out of control, it's crazy. If you're not hip to it, congratulations on that rock that you live under. Look up Skid Row in California and look up Kensington in Pennsylvania. The amount of people that are losing their lives to this, we've had notable people lose their life to fentanyl. Mac Miller, Prince, Lil Peep died from fentanyl. Like, it's really a very big issue that I don't see getting addressed as much as it should for how many people are dying. There are stories every week of fatal overdoses caused by fentanyl. And what fentanyl is a synthetic form of morphine that is like 100 times stronger. And a very, very small amount of it can cause an overdose. So what is happening with a lot of these drugs, a lot of these pills, cocaine, heroin, dealers are cutting it with fentanyl. And it really doesn't make much sense from a, you know, marketing standpoint as a dealer, because you don't want your clients to die. However, in a really crazy turn of events, some people will actually look for that sort of fentanyl if they know that other people are dying because they think that they can handle it. I've been really interested in this epidemic, and I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos about it where people will go down to these areas like I just mentioned, and they'll talk to the people there and really get their side of the story because they are boots on the ground. They'll talk to a lot of addicts, and they've heard that before. That if an addict knows that the fentanyl, which comes in like different shapes and colors. So let's say if they knew that the, you know, red fentanyl had just killed somebody, they would seek that out because they think, oh, I can handle that. It's really, really unfortunate because it's such a dangerous drug. And data from Families Against Fentanyl shows that among Americans aged 18 to 45, fentanyl is the most common killer above both suicide and COVID-19. That is crazy. That's unbelievably common. And they really need to do something about it because it's completely out of control. But that's enough on my little fentanyl rant. Back to the story. So it's really unfortunate that their friend passed away, but it's almost a goodbye in the way that he popped up in our author's mind, saying, "She doesn't know I'm gone." It was almost a little bit of foreshadowing to the death. And I can only hope that that maybe brings a little bit of closure. The fact that, you know, they got to have one little experience with their friend before they passed. But that is just so heartbreaking. And, you know, my condolences to our author. And yeah, hopefully they do something about that soon. Alrighty, guys, that's going to do it for episode 44 of Real Stories. This week you have heard My First and Only Paranormal Experience Still Blows My Mind by Mr. Can't Trill AD. Then, Demonic Oppression by Realist Hater. And finally, Dead Friend Told Me He Passed by It's Okay _ It's All Right. All stories were read with the permission of their respective authors, and if you have a story that you'd like to hear on the show, please email it to me at thearspodcast@gmail.com. That's thearspodcast@gmail.com, and you can remain anonymous. Thank you guys again so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a friend. Make sure you take that survey that will be in the description of this episode. And have a great week, and I will see you next week with a brand new episode. Stay safe.